How many of you here follow baseball? How many of you have any interest in baseball? I must say that it's been a joy working with Andy and Soul and Gospel Partnership, but I fear that I let him down because Andy heard this American accent and probably immediately thought, someone I can talk to about baseball. And he did try to talk to me about baseball and asked me if I followed it. And what did I say? No, I don't. Sorry to let you down, brother. We as human beings can be very forgetful. You know that? We often need to be reminded of things. You know, people will do a good deed for us and over time we'll forget about it. And God knows that. And he encourages us all throughout Scripture to use reminders. In the Old Testament, the Jews had feasts. In the New Testament, God has given us communion because we need to be reminded daily, regularly, of the death of Christ in our behalf. Many of you will recall the account in Joshua when he led the Israelites across the Jordan. After they had crossed over, God told them, I want you to build some rock piles, if you will, one for each of the tribes, and these are to be reminders of what I have done for you. And you're to use these to remind your children and your children's children. Every time you look at them, remember that it is God who led you across the Jordan. Well, likewise, I have the wonderful privilege of having two little rock piles running around in my household. One is 4, one is 5.5. And I look at these two little girls, and honestly, they point me towards God as my Heavenly Father like nothing else could. I'm nearly 5 years into the adventure of being an adoptive parent, and it wasn't even on my mind 6 years ago. It hadn't crossed my mind. Further thing from it. But God changed my mind, and he shattered the hardness of my heart. Turn in your Bibles to Romans, Romans chapter 8. And I'll tell you a little bit about the story. This is something that I cannot speak about dispassionately or removed from, because it's very near and dear to my heart. I will try not to be sappy with you, so bear with me, but I can't share this dispassionately. Romans 8, my wife and I, Karen and I, we've been married about 5 years, and we were desiring children, and for reasons the Lord knows, he had not given them to us biologically. We went through the doctors and everything, and they just looked at us and shrugged their shoulders and said, can't tell you why. We don't know. There's no reason it shouldn't be happening. This choice, at this time, I was beginning to go about mad. Lord, I am not in control. What is going on here? This isn't right. And what shattered the hardness of my heart was a man preaching from Romans chapter 8. Verse 15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to what you have to tell us this evening. I pray that you would meet us just how we need to be met through your word. Lord, you know what each of us need in this room. You know if we need encouragement, if we need challenging, if we need rebuking, whatever it might be that we need to conform to the image of Christ, I pray that you would do that this evening. I pray that as we leave here, we would have a renewed appreciation for you. Drive us to you. May you be the center of our thoughts and our attention. In Jesus' name, amen. After hearing this talk, and you can turn to Galatians 4 now, where we'll spend the bulk of our time, but after hearing this talk, I was just thunderstruck about this whole idea of adoption. And God used his word to twist me 180 degrees to say, I'm ready to start it now. And God did the same work in my wife's heart. And we were both thinking, let's go adopt. And we were so excited about this that we thought, let's not do anything rash. So we said, we're going to take a month and we're not going to talk to each other about it. We're going to seek the Lord as individuals, and then we'll see what he has to say to us. And we figure if it's just a little impulse, we'll forget about it, and it'll blow over. Well, a month, pretty much to the minute, we looked at each other and said, do you want to do it? Yep. You want to do it? Yep. Let's go. And that's begun a journey which has just been an amazing privilege. And probably more than anything else, it has taught me things about my Heavenly Father that have just left me dumbfounded. I've been a Christian virtually all of my life. Grown up, I'm a third-generation Christian. My grandparents were missionaries, and it's very easy growing up in the culture of the church to almost get inoculated to it, if you will, to take some things for granted and to get a little bit cold, and we lose that warmth and that zeal that we ought to have for the Lord. And God has used this in my life to wake me up to the fantastic privilege it is to call Him Abba, Father. And He's using a sinful man like me to be the daddy to these little adopted girls. And it's just striking me that God is an amazing Heavenly Father. That was in the autumn of 2000. We've begun our paperwork. In adoption circles, it's called a paper pregnancy. And it can sometimes take months. It can sometimes take years. In our case, for the first one, it took us about 14 months. 14 agonizing long months. And then all of a sudden, in my email, 5:30, the evening of January 30th, 2001, poof, I got an email picture of this little kid from a Chinese orphanage. Her head had been shaved because they'd had a lice outbreak, and she was from the north where it's very cold, and it was, yeah, bundled up, it looked like 18 layers of clothes on around her. And she was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And she's gotten more beautiful in every day. That was Hannah, who is my firstborn. My second is Ellie. And we started the process with Ellie just before we moved over to here in early 2003. We started the process. And one of the things God used to direct us over here was that we could carry on the process, even moving countries. Estimating it would take about 14 months for this one, we figured we'd move over to England, we'd settle in, get 8 or 9 months here, figure out the culture, know where everything is, and everything would be okay. Well, somehow they speeded up on this second adoption process, and we had been here 2 months, and all of a sudden we got the phone call saying, right, you better go. So we didn't even have all our boxes unpacked. We still didn't know where everything was. So our first year here was fairly chaotic. But God has given me the amazing privilege of being the father of two girls by adoption. I thank God for this privilege, but it wasn't something I asked for, and it wasn't something that I expected by any stretch of the imagination. But what does it mean to be adopted? What does it mean? Adoption is a rich truth in Scripture, and every one of us as a Christian is an adopted kid. Did you know that? Every one of us is adopted. So what does God say about adoption? What does it mean to us as Christians when God says, you are my adopted sons and daughters? What's the big deal? It's a real big deal. Galatians chapter 4. I'll begin in verse 1. And I'm reading out of the ESV. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he's the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Just stopping and reading that passage, almost nothing more need to be said. That is amazing what God says in this. Now, the context in which it was written was that of Roman law. And adoption in Roman times was a very, very powerful concept. And that's what God used to convey what he means by adoption. The word for adoption means to have the full rights of sons, as the NIV translated it. And in Roman law, three major things happened in an adoption. When a child was adopted, it was permanent. It couldn't be undone. When a child was adopted into a family, by law, it is like that as long as the child lives. Secondly, the adopted child immediately has rights in the new family. There's no waiting period, no trial period, but immediately the adopted child has the rights and the privileges of the family into which that child is adopted. And then thirdly, the child completely severs ties with the old family. So adoption is permanent, it's immediate, and it's complete. Complete in that ties are severed with the old family. What a fantastic picture of what we have as Christians. When we are found in Christ, adopted into His family, think about that and the benefits of it. I'm going to work through these backwards because that's the way it's presented here in Galatians, Galatians chapter 4. In verse 3, it says this, "In the same way we were when we were children enslaved to the elementary principles of this world." Prior to adoption, we were slaves to sin. Full stop. We had no choice. We are depraved by nature. Our every inclination is to go away from God and to do our own thing. That is the way we are. We're slaves to sin. We're slaves to our flesh. But as Christians, that tie is severed because we have been buried with Christ. We're raised with Christ. But we must remember the family from which we came. It's once been said that the degree to which you've forgotten where you came from is the degree to which you will be cold towards the lost. It's very easy to get wrapped up in a comfortable Christian culture and forget that the world, apart from Christ, has no hope whatsoever. Absolutely none. No power over sin. No hope of everlasting life. In John 8, Jesus, referring to anyone not born of the Father, says they're children of the devil. Everyone in the world is born into the devil's family. That's how we start. It's a level playing field. Apart from Christ, we are depraved by nature and we are children of the devil. That's a horrible fact of reality. But the amazing thing is, when we are adopted by God into Christ, He takes us from that family and He places us into Christ. Ties to our old family are severed. We can choose to follow Christ and not go into sin. Details of that are in Romans chapter 6, especially. Buried with Christ, raised with Him. We died to our old self. We're raised to live with Christ, to live for Him, to live to Him. That is what we have in adoption. Ties to the old family are severed. We're new creations in Christ. We're free from the law. The written code no longer is to be our motivation. Our motivation for living and empowerment is grace, as Andy said earlier. But that's all because of our new family. We're found in Christ. Our name has changed. When we adopted our daughters, the orphanage, both of our daughters had been abandoned. When they were brought to the orphanage, they were assigned a name. That their last name was basically that of the orphanage. And what we did is, when we adopted them legally, they received my last name, Seeger. They are Seegers as long as they're alive. God knew all along what He was doing. And in His sovereignty, He chose for my children to be born in a faraway land. That was His way of doing it. And they were given a name by someone else. But when we adopted them into our family, they both became Seegers. And they no longer have legally ties to where they're from. As a Christian, you no longer have ties to the devil. You do not have to obey the flesh. You have power in Christ to walk in the Spirit. That's the first thing. Prior to adoption, you were slaves to sin, as it says in chapter 3. But now you can walk in freedom because you have a new name. You are found in Christ. You have a new family. An adopted child in Roman society immediately had rights. they immediately were given the rights of the family into which they were adopted. There was no trial period, no time to go for a test drive, but they immediately had the rights of that family. Verses 5 and 6 say this. Let me back up to verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because we are sons, God has given us the spirit of his son. You all know this, but as Christians, we receive the Holy Spirit upon conversion like that. And I think a powerful argument for that, amongst other explicit places, it says it in scriptures, we're adopted. God knew exactly what he was saying with Roman law. When you're adopted into a family, you immediately receive those rights. Likewise, when a person receives Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. There's no having to wait around for another blessing. There's nothing like that. But we receive the Holy Spirit. We receive full rights as sons. That's amazing. God in us, God with us, that we receive as Christians. It's one of the immediate rights we get in joining a new family. In Christ, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, we have every spiritual blessing immediately. It doesn't say, well, after you've been a Christian and you've tried it out and you've done it and you've passed the 5-year marks and you haven't done too many sins, then you get every spiritual blessing. No, that letter is written to every Christian. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. The issue is never us getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's us giving more of ourselves over to him. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Colossians 2, it says that we are complete in Christ. Every Christian, we get immediate rights. God's Spirit in us and with us. The passage also says that we have relationship with God. Immediately, we can call him Abba, Father. When one calls on him as Lord and Savior, he immediately becomes Abba, Father to us. Right away, we can run up to him and call him Daddy. And that's the way it ought to be. There is something about adoption when you are given that child and you hold that child and you just say, this is a work that God has done. We are family instantly. And that's what happens when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior. We are immediately placed into his family. No trial period, no nothing like that. We have the rights of being a child of God. That is amazing. So when we become a Christian, we sever ties with the old. We have the rights of being a child of God, but then we also have a secure future in Christ. Think about it. As Christians, we get eternal life, everlasting life. And it starts the instant we receive Christ as Lord and Savior. We can have life here on earth. You know, the Bible distinguishes two types of life in the Greek. The first is bios. That's what everything has. The slugs that eat the flowers in your garden, they have bios. That is life. It is existence. The second is zoe, and that is a spiritual life. That is a spiritual awareness. It means being in communion with God, and only he can give that. When we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, that's what we get. Our future begins now. We have relationship with God. We're also secure because we know that we will never be disinherited. God will never unadopt his people. Ephesians 1 says, give some more light on this whole idea of receiving the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit is a seal guaranteeing our salvation, guaranteeing our standing all the way through to redemption. That's what we get in adoption. The fact of the matter is, my two girls aren't perfect. You feed them chocolate, you feed them too much candy, and you see in a hurry, they're not perfect. They have temper tantrums. They disobey me. But you know something? They're still my daughters. And I'd do anything for them. Likewise, as Christians, our adoption has nothing to do with our behavior. It has everything to do with God's character when he says, I am adopting you, I am placing you into my family, you are with my family the rest of forever. Guaranteed, because we've received the Holy Spirit. That is what we get as Christians. It's amazing. Adoption has been an amazing journey for me, and it really helps me to appreciate these truths that tie in with the Roman law as it was at the time that Paul penned this letter to the Galatians. Prior to adoption, we were slaves to sin. We had no freedom. We had a written code that maybe we could conform to, but most of the time we wouldn't. We had no way of living the life God intended us to. We were slaves to sin. But those ties have been severed. We died with Christ. We were raised with him. Immediately, we have the rights of being a child of God. We have amazing rights. God himself living inside us, the Holy Spirit. We have a secure future. God will never disinherit us. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. That's what God tells us about adoption in his word. It's an amazing and a powerful truth. And I would just like to add some thoughts that adoption has taught me. Andy had asked me to share some things that were a little bit more part of our testimony. And I would put these in the rock pile category. The things that God does in each of our lives that we need to look back to every once in a while and say, yep, I remember this. Because, you know, as Christians, we go through dry periods. You know, sometimes in church circles, we aren't entirely honest with each other. You know, we may go through times where we might struggle with a sin. It might be doubt. It might be whatever it is. And we need reminders that God is faithful. What are the reminders in your life that you look to and say, yep, God is faithful? Because the devil loves to get in there and sow seeds of doubt and dissension in all of our lives. Several things stand out to me with my daughters. All of these hinge around adoption. Did you ever stop to think how much God was looking forward to adopting you into his family? Did you ever stop to think about that? I had to wait 14 months for the first adoption process, and it seemed like forever. But when you stop to think, in Ephesians chapter 1, since before the foundations of the world, God has chosen us. God knew about you before you were even a thought, and he had earmarked you and said, I'm adopting you into my family. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that give you a sense of purpose that transcends just this life? It's not a random thing. God chose and he longed for us to be born and then born again into his family, and so he could work through us for his glory. That is what life is all about. Life isn't something we should go about on automatic pilot, but we need to consciously be aware that everything we do is for his glory. And he has chosen me, not because I'm great, but because he is. But he's chosen me to be his son by adoption. That's an incredible privilege. Second thing God has taught me through this, another rock pile I look at, is that God's answers to our prayers aren't always what we expect. But they are better than what we could ask for. And the reason being is because God answers prayers not so much because of what we want, but he is thinking about his glory and what is best for his purposes. I can tell you I didn't start 6-7 years ago praying for adopted children. But knowing what a privilege it is now, I'd do it all over again. God answers prayers, not always the way we'd expect, but his answers are better than anything we could ever ask for. And kind of as I've already said, God works everything for his glory. His glory is ultimately our best interest. We just don't know it at the time. You ever stop to think about that? God answers and is thinking about his glory, which is better than what we could ask for. God's glory is what we'd want if we knew all the facts. And we don't know all the facts. But God can transcend that. God can work over us. Lastly, there are no accidents in adoption. No accidents in adoption. I know people who say, well, you know, my parents weren't expecting another one, and then, you know, I came along, and I'm kind of an accident. There are no accidents in adoption. Adoption is always intentional. No one wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to adopt, and then goes home that evening and says, hey, I adopted someone. Adoption is intentional. There are no accidents. Likewise, when God says, I am choosing you out of darkness to be my child so that I can conform you to the image of Christ and then take you all the way through to glory, that's an amazing truth. And it's something we should never take for granted. It's not an accident. God is in charge. Anyone who's a Christian, just thinking of those truths, the whole truth of adoption should say, there is a reason I'm here. If God has me here on earth, and he has known me since before I was born, from before time began, he knew about me, he called me, chose me, then I need to make the most of my time here on earth. I will choose to live as a child of God. Forget those ties to sin. I don't want to live in sin. I want to say I'm going to live as my Heavenly Father calls me to. That gives me a sense of purpose that nothing else can in life. It comes down to realizing that we are adopted by God. I cannot begin to describe my love for my girls. I could talk about them all night. I could watch you all fall asleep one by one as I rattle on for hours and hours about them. It's an amazing privilege. But I am a sinful man. I am a fallen man. I am a flawed father. And then put that in perspective, our Heavenly Father is perfect. As much as I love my girls, and as many mistakes as I'll make as a father, I would do anything for him. But when I think of God as my perfect Heavenly Father, who will make no mistakes, it is a privilege and a pleasure and a confidence to know that I have been adopted by God. And as a Christian, you have been adopted by God too. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and I pray that we would grow in our awe for you. Help us to rest in the fact that we are adopted by you. Lord, the fact that you have known us since before time began is amazing. I pray that each of us would live purposefully in the light of that truth. I pray, Lord, that we would live in such a way that we sever ties completely with the family we came from, the devil. Lord, I pray that we would be walking as children of God in the power and exercising the rights that you have given us. Help us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let us rest secure and confident, knowing that we can never be disinherited or unadopted because we are found in Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.